Please do be seated. Thank you, Paula, for that reading of the Gospel. I'm sure some of us can think of people we've known in our lives who have mapped out their journey of life ahead of them. I had a colleague who mapped out every year his progression through the company. I don't think he quite achieved what he aimed to go for, but he at least wanted to sort of see the way forward, and we've all seen people who have done that. And, of course, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, truly had his life mapped out for him. As we remind ourselves, he's the third of that group who have prepared the way for Christ's birth. And was set out for him in the words of the Benedictus, which is in Luke chapter 1, where Zechariah was inspired to see in his son that he was blessed by the Lord to prepare the way. You, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And John and Jesus were cousins. John was probably about 6 months older than Jesus. We know nothing about their young life, whether they knew each other as children, but the likelihood is that they did. And it would be interesting to have been able to see that relationship develop. And John perhaps always knew that Jesus was someone rather special. And we know, don't we, that John called the people together to be baptized with water, the baptism of repentance. But he said that there would one who would come who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the people were a little confused about who John was. Was he the Christ? And we see from John's Gospel that John the Baptist was always very emphatic, and he said, I am not the Christ. They said, are you then the prophet? And he said, no. Are you Elijah? No, I am not. And who are you then? And then he quoted from Isaiah, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. And then we come to this time when John is in prison. John heard in prison the Messiah was what he was doing, and he sent word and said to him, are you the one who is to come? John had committed his life to preparing the way for the Messiah, and he was now going through that time of doubt. We all do, don't we, face doubts about what we have been called to do. Was this Jesus the Messiah, or was John's work mistaken in what he was being called to do? And John's faith began to wobble as he was imprisoned here. Imprisoned because he had stood up against Herod and Herodias, whom he had married, his brother's wife, which was forbidden under Jewish law. So John is acknowledging his doubt and perhaps despair. Here he is in prison. Was this for a real purpose? And so he sought affirmation by sending a couple of his followers to speak to Jesus. And we too, don't we, do seek to be affirmed in what we do. We sometimes have our own doubts. And it is up to us to encourage those who we see around us who perhaps are uncertain about what they're called to be doing. And especially if it is something that sets them up against the world, against the secularism of our world, then we all need to encourage each other in living out our Christian witness. So John was somewhat disillusioned whether Jesus indeed was the Messiah. John's expectation, as was the philosophy throughout Hebrew scripture, was that Messiah would bring the immediate restoration of Israel. And he was calling the people to fasting and to be baptized in preparation for the judgment to come. And that was a popular misunderstanding among the disciples, even Jesus' disciples who were living and walking with him. They're expecting the kingdom to be coming very soon. And Jesus' response to this is recorded in Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So John continued to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one?" And what's Jesus' response? Jesus says, "Look with your eyes at what is happening around you. Evidence is seen through the experience of what I've been doing." So whereas John was calling on for fasting and preparation for judgment, Jesus, as we heard in our Isaiah reading, was bringing the good news of the kingdom of healing and mercy. And if you were to glance at the epistle, actually it's the last verse of that epistle, so reading from verse 10, it would say, "As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets, like John, like Isaiah, who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So, what Jesus says, as recorded here in Matthew, that you've got those who are now seeing, are now walking, are now being healed, are now hearing, are now living, and have been saved. And he said, that was prophesied in Isaiah that we've read about earlier this morning has been fulfilled. Open your eyes, he says, to observe God's work around us and acclaim to others and claim for ourselves that healing and hope. By drawing on those words from Isaiah, Jesus is proving that John indeed was not mistaken. He had fulfilled his call to mission and ministry. For the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, and the dumb to sing. John, as it was is written elsewhere in Isaiah 40, John indeed was truly a waymaker for Jesus. "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for your God." Not only was John a waymaker, he was also what we call a type. He represented what was to happen to Jesus. John was initially welcomed, he was then rejected, and he was then killed. All things, as we see, happened to Jesus. So while John, in all his witness to Jesus, confirmed that he was not the light, but he is a witness to the true light, as we will be reading in those wonderful verses from John chapter 1 over Christmas. "He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world in Jesus Christ." As we look back at the words that Jesus drew from Isaiah, we indeed see that this chapter is following on from the failure of Israel. And it is a portent of their impending judgment upon them. They have become complacent. And my goodness, we live in a complacent world today, deaf and blind to God's word. But because of God's judgment and the calamities that came upon that nation, they did open their eyes and ears to receive the good news. And that is a future promise that was given to Israel, a promise of healing, mercy, and peace. And putting it in the historical context, it was about their return from exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem. Isaiah writes of the desert blossoming, of God's renewed presence in Jerusalem. It's also a looking forward, as I've reminded us earlier, as we looked, as we lit the candles. We are not just, we're not preparing for Christmas. Christmas has happened. We're preparing for the celebration of Christmas. But what we are preparing for at Advent is a looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, the last days. And it's that perspective that Isaiah is writing about, the completion of the coming of the kingdom. A recreation of God's perfect order with the flourishing in the desert, nature blossoming and producing fruit, humanity strengthened and healed. And I think I've shared before that the word used for healing in the Greek is also the word for being saved. Healing and salvation are closely linked in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we look to those end times, which we do not know when, but it is a drawing together of all the people of God. The redeemed and the ransomed will walk together along the highway to the kingdom, set free and rescued by Jesus, our Kingsman Redeemer. So as we think about how this applies to us today, this season of Advent, as we prepare not just for celebrating Christ's birth, but for his future return, we need to anticipate and be patient for the waiting for that kingdom. Again, I refer you to James. He says, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Are we prepared people? While we do not know when Jesus will return, we need to live as if it were to be tomorrow. Every generation thinks it sees signs and may become complacent about the coming of Jesus Christ. But we, like John, need to be shaken up and have our faith tested to see and hear the truth of God's word. We, as John was told by Jesus, need to observe what is going on around us. Look and see what is happening in our community and in our country. There's going to be an opportunity on the 29th of December, our fifth Sunday, where we're going to celebrate with some of our favourite hymns. And please do write them down on the chart by the font there. And Harriet is going to compose these into a medley for us to sing of our favourite hymns. But after that, there's an opportunity to be looking ahead to the new year. We have a new government. We are thankful that we live in a parliamentary democracy. As Steve reminded us in his prayers last week, out of the 195 countries in the world, about 70 of them are undemocratic, having either an oligarchic, which is ruled by a few, or dictatorships. So be thankful that we live in a country with a democratic voice. So in our country, in our community, in our church, let us see where God is at work. Follow his lead, for he has already prepared the ground for us to follow. What's our expectation of what God will do in our community? There's an opportunity to think widely about what we might be able to do in offering space and a place for our community to come and share in this wonderful building we have here. Do we restrain him in our imagination, or are we open to the work of the Spirit? So be prepared to stand as John did, as a witness to Jesus. And that Greek word for witness is, of course, martyr. We're not going to necessarily be called to martyrdom, but some of our brothers and sisters in the world truly are, and we need to pray for them as they live through deep persecution. We are already subject, aren't we, to a high degree of intolerance in our world. If you don't agree with me, you're a bigot. You might not have had that spoken to you, but many Christians have, who have stood up for the word of the Lord. And we've got to be prepared to say, I'm not a bigot, I'm being faithful to what Jesus is calling me to say and be and believe. Back in John and Jesus' time, we had a conflict there that they were condemned, whatever they do, as Jesus said of John, he was an ascetic. He didn't eat or drink stuff that was other than very necessary for him. And he was told that he has a demon. Jesus ate and drank with sinners, and he was told he was a glutton. So whatever they did was condemned by the society around them. And we need to be prepared for that. So we need to be praying for one another as we come through this period of celebration and anticipation. We need to stand up for what we celebrate at Christmas. And it's not just the crackers and the food around the table, but it is that gathering together in celebration of our Lord's birth. In our watching and our waiting, let us be bold in our witnessing. And as we allow God to be present, our lives will bloom, as did the desert, as Isaiah predicted. So let us pray, Lord, that as we continue to prepare the way for you to come to many people this Christmas time, we pray that you will strengthen each one of us to be faithful in our witness to you. In your name we pray. Amen.